my initial interest in the turbine legislation was more because of Weatherby's interest than mine. He was committed to do something about it.
Who was committed, I wonder? Who interested him in it?
The efforts there in Western Kentucky do something about it. The agitation over Crew Journal. I'd say it was Crew Journal more than anybody else. I don't know whether you all realize what a force Crew Journal has been in Kentucky.
Well, that was my report. I never did like that strip mine down Western Kentucky. I thought that I was sort of screaming in the dark there for a long time.
Well, I'd say that you all pushed Weatherby's interest in it.
I remember when Harry Caldwell came along and started his Jeremiads from the Hills, that he acted as though he had discovered strip mining. But he never made a peep about it as long as it was in Western Kentucky. I said Eastern Kentucky, then he started complaining. Did you feel then that Lawrence feel that you needed more regulatory statutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's no kind of regulation at all.
Were there regulations in other states? Did you have much of a blueprint to go
with? Yeah, Indiana had done a lot of work on it. Of course, specifically Indiana. They had done a lot of reclamation. I went over there and looked at a lot of stuff. I don't recall the states of Indiana.
Now, Eastern Kentucky, they said that Eastern Kentucky is stripping hadn't really started then, 20 degrees. It did under Lawrence, I guess.
Yeah, it started at that time. You know, I guess must have been a pretty big push because of our, I recall now that we had more application permits than anywhere else in Eastern Kentucky.
What were the other, do you want to talk a little bit about the development of the state park system, what you found on the Earl and what you left when you left mayor?
Well, of course, the biggest problem always is money. It's finding money to pay for development. The combination of that and acquiring sites. This was the period when some of the big Corps of Engineer reservoirs were built. First project that we had persuaded the Swope administration. Swope.
Willis?
Mm-hmm. Willis. To establish this park on Kentucky Lake. We agreed to take some TV land, TV offering for park, which Ken Lake. And all they did was just accept some land.
And Kentucky Dam Village, too.
No, Ken Lake. Did accept some land and had done nothing with it at all. Ken Lake came into existence in 1948. I had been working with TVA. And I was very close to TVA from the very beginning, helped them build Kentucky Dam. And I had been working with them on what was going to be the future of Kentucky Dam Village, because they were through with it. It didn't drop to be through with it. And they were anxious to have somebody take it, do something with it. They didn't have any use for a lot of the buildings, and it was too much to just be thrown away or try to move away. We even explored the possibility of, I had organized what we call the Kentucky Lake Association. A lot of people in the area that are interested in assistant on the way to the members' office. I was its unpaid secretary treasurer for years. We even explored the possibility of the Tobacco Lake Association taking over and running.
As a part?
The project. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't. It was too big a project for us to think about. So the state, the TVA said, if the state would take it, we'd agree to sell, give the state 1,500 acres of land up in that manure. And all those cottages, and all the buildings that are there, what we consider the salvage value is $38,000, which of course is silly, but the, hell, the water and sewer plant alone is $1 billion. So, early in the 1960s, the set 48 session, I got the legislators in that area agreed to go to dinner with me. Got Clements to come over, got dinner with us. And then I got up and outlined what TA had offered. And Earl said, well, all I can say is if I were a member of the legislature, I'd introduce a bill to take them up on it. So the next morning, I introduced a bill to take them up on it. So we got the original for TVA, $38,000. And then later on, a whole lot of other stuff, which was not included in the original deal, we got for, I think, $75,000. So for a little over $100,000, we got what I'd say would be worth $2-3 million. Now that was because that was the 48th session, and I became commissioner in April. I well remember talking about prices. We had those 10 of those large, what we call deluxe cottages, that were built for the supervisor personnel. Well, they were at home. And the other more modest cabins scattered around the area. Well, obviously we had to charge more for these deluxe places than the others. I forgot the race, we figured that, but I was afraid at the time, and God, I was scared of the race. But people just grabbed them up real fast. Because they were really damn nice places. But that was the first major push. Well, that plus getting the Kenlake started, building the hotel and new cabins and boat and bathhouse and other facilities. Those two were the first big pushes.
When was Cherokee? When was Cherokee at Old? It used to be a bike park?
Yeah. It came along about 2 years after we got started on developing Kenlake. There had been a bit of a push with the bike population, particularly Hopkinsville, Paducah. And I had a meeting with a group of them. And I said, now, as far as I'm concerned, come on, use it. We don't have a closed policy. And if Kenlake is open to you as well as anybody else. And most of them said, well, frankly, our people just wouldn't feel right. They wouldn't feel home, wouldn't feel like they were wanted. Wouldn't feel right. I said, well, now, had you rather do that, or would you rather we establish one of your own? They said, we'd rather have a place of our own. I said, okay, and that's when we established this Cherokee. It wasn't, there was very much used.
No, it wasn't very much used.
I think it was, from their point of view, a gesture that there, that they wouldn't
have. I don't know what it is today. It's part of Ken Lake, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it uses a camping area or something.
Yeah.
It's a nice little park. We go to the bathhouse.
Yeah.
So it's a group camp. But, to say we had policies, we never had any kind of suggestions actually permitted to go in the park.
that time, this is 1950, what did we have? We had Pine Mountain, Cumberland Falls, Natural Bridge,
General Butler,
Butler,
Perry Hill Battlefield. I don't know the mention.
Levi Jackson.
Old Mulkey Meeting House.
Yeah.
Old Kentucky Home.
Yeah, these were at that time called Heart.
Yeah, the Rodney Shrine.
Rodney Shrine, like Mulkey.
Yeah.
Kentucky Home. Now, Old Fort Harrod.
It was established. It had been established like earlier, back in with one of the CCC projects, originally. And they had a memorial or thing there that was dedicated when Roosevelt got president. Constitution Square at Danville was a little bitty thing.
But parks, he's about named them, huh? The Big
One
West
then, of course, then said Cumberland,
yeah.
Lake Cumberland, Carter Caves,
Pennyrail, and little parks like the Malone and things we come, Great Interstate that we're having,
yeah.
Grayson, Green Bowl, Tin Cave.
All small.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't have been studied.
The breaks from natural development. You know, Clements started what they call governor's tours.
Yeah.
Cooperating with the Chamber of Commerce. Barney Linehan was an old friend of mine, Dupin. And I worked with Clements, started the governor's tours. Business speak from one sector state and take them over to another. Well, we scheduled going by.
Was Vern Linehan from
Paducah?
Was Rosa from Paducah?
No. She's from Danville. Barney went originally there. But moved to Louisville from Paducah. We went to Pineville, been up there a couple times, and go up there and they'd take us jeeps. Go up the mountain to look at the breaks.
The pipeline.
Mm-hmm. There one night we had dinner out at the Piper College. And everybody was talking very enthusiastically, and they had the usual local people talking about what a great thing Breaks Park would be. Well, I had heard this speech often. I got up finally. I said, look, I'd like to. You local people, those sponsors, I want to have a meeting with you after we get through here. So we got together. And I said, now I want to be real honest with you. I think this is the third time I've been piping and made the same kind of deep crib and heard the same kind of talk, Breaks of Sandy. In my judgment, you're no closer to having a reality than you were the first time I was up here. Yeah, of course, yeah, we knew that. We saw Norman Christman, who was a friend of mine. I
knew you were interested. Just tell the truth now. I knew you were
interested. And they just gave me hell. I let them talk and all. And I said, now, cool off. Why do you think I asked you to help me? Why do you think I had the guts to talk the way I have? Because if you want to do something, for God's sakes, let's get busy and do things right. I said, do you know, for example, that requires an act of Congress to authorize an interstate park. It requires an act of the legislature of Virginia and Kentucky to authorize an interstate park. Nobody didn't know that. Well, I said, dude.
Did they know that where the land lay? Most of it didn't.
Okay.
Dickinson County.
Yeah. So I said, now, got you here is to talk some sense about the things that have to be done if you don't do anything. And if you want to go about it right, I'm willing to work with you. I can guarantee you that we won't get the park established. You don't know where you're getting the money or anything, except that these steps have to be taken.
And if you want to really try to do something, let's get those things done. Well, that's her sort of thing. Great. So I wrote the bill. And the Virginia people that were interested in it, they entered it in Virginia and got it passed to Kentucky. And I got Clements, old Senator Robertson, I believe it was, in Virginia at the time, sponsored the bill in Washington. They got the legislation through. It took, of course, a couple of years to get the legislation through. And we got the commission established and kind of got some money and made some of the start. It never was going to be the thing that they thought it was going to be, realized they had, because locally it was a very spectacular thing, but in terms of national scenery, it definitely doesn't belong to one of the spectacular.
But they don't have enough population to lead you driving distance in the park to make it a big park.
No, that highways are too remote from good highways.
It's a long way. I love the park.
Yeah, it's nice and nice. I'm glad we got it done, but so often local people in their zeal to get something just simply don't have the knowledge of how to do things. And that's the best example that I recall.
You had the Kentucky Dam Village study, Ken Lake Cherokee. This was under Earl.
Yeah. And we had, of course, acquired the site by Lake Cumberland. Corps of Engineers finished.
Under Earl or Lund?
Started under Earl. I don't think we finished acquiring land. I think it's another way to finally finish acquiring land and starting development. So, of course, didn't get the new lodge built until we were under Combs. The state had some land in Clark Caves. We had to buy a lot more. And got the first development underway. And of course, the lodge
at Carthage.
Kenny Wiley acquired the property under Weatherby. A little development, but most not a coma. Same thing with the.
We had Butler. Butler was one of the old ones.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't do much with it until we built a yard in Combs. Same way with Pine Mountain, we didn't do very much with it.
I was doing well. I was close to a lot of people.
I'm afraid I would not have gone along with building a ski lodge in the slope.
Where did you go from there now? You were the Conservation Commissioner of the Lawrence, too.
Yeah, I was there almost 8 years.
Yeah. You wrote the first strip mine bill. It was sort of a demonstration project bill almost. And applied mainly to area strip mining that's practiced in western Kentucky.
Primarily, except as they say, eastern Kentucky would come very much into picture.
Did you have any? Did you have anything to do with the strip mine legislation that was written under Ned Breathitt?
No.
Did you consult him? You were involved in highways and after Combs put your
forgotten that thing was created before I was in Howard, but I remember now Combs asked me to be Commissioner of Conservation. And I told him I would do it, but I said, well, who? They ought to have a park board supervise it, and if you'll create one, I'll serve as chairman without any pay. I said, okay, that's got the bill passed, and the board was appointed, and I continued. Although I think legally, if anybody would raise a point, I couldn't serve as chairman of that board. I was ready to vote.
Nobody wanted the job.
No.
Oh, it is. So even under Combs and Bucket, you were highway commissioner. But under Combs, you were still very influential in parks. You got along well with the parks, didn't you?
Oh, he was my protege.
Did it?
See, I had hired Ed Fox when I was Commissioner of Conservation.
During whose administration?
White Bay. He was a graduate of the University of Kentucky and a major in accounting. And I hired him first, worked at Kentucky Dam Village as business manager. Then brought him into Franklin. Assistant director. He and Bob Cornford were most closely together. Bob Bell was my assistant commissioner of conservation at the time. I hired Bob in 49. And when Chandler was elected, Ed Fox went to Washington, got a job with the CIA.
Hmm.
Accountant. And then when Combs appointed the park board and gave me the authority to find somebody to commission. I called Fox and offered him a job. He said, oh, I can't afford to do that. And I kept talking to him. Of course, he was extremely interested in it. He finally agreed to it. And I knew that Fox was an excellent manager. And that was, was not with a board worry around about the politics or the pressures or the conduct of the governor working on financing. He wouldn't have those problems, but for a manager, he'd do a damn good job. So, and when Ned was elected, see, in the latter part of Ned's administration, I mean, Burke, his commission finance started drinking a lot. And Bert had to drop.
Was it Bob Olson?
No. Bob Maslin. So, memory slipping on names again.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Bert had to do something. So he talked to me one day. He said, told me I had a problem in the department finance. And I've just got to do something. How about me to let me have Bob Bell? I said, oh, for God's sake, son. Go through this again. Bob Wilson White, when he became lieutenant governor, wanted to hire somebody. Assistant asked me what I thought, and I said, Bob Bell? So he hired Bob. Crazy about it. So I went over, there's Commissioner Howard. I called Wilson. I said, Wilson, you told me to take this damn job. I got to have Bell. No, don't do that to me. But everybody was crazy about Bell. So, Bert took Bob over as Commissioner of Revenue the last 4 or 5 months of his administration. When Ned came in, he was committed to somebody who wanted to be Commissioner of Revenue. And it was a matter of trying to find something from Bob. And he talked to Bob, asked him what he wanted. Bob said he'd like to be Commissioner of Parks. But he and Bob were very close friends, and that was one. Fox stayed on as deputy commissioner. So they had a good relationship.
Do you recall that while we were on the board together, a proposal? proposal was made to us that the state take over Shaker Town and develop it?
Yeah, I don't remember the details. My details, I remember it proposed and that we decided we couldn't do it.
I remember that Tommy had, you know, I'm catching it from you, whatever his name was, Tommy.
Nelson?
Yeah, Tommy Nelson. He was very hot on that. He wanted us to take it over.
Yeah, he would.
He got very mad at me because I voted against it. But I just thought that the private money was going to develop that, and then we could use that money for something else.
Who was the fellow in Lexington?
Earl Wallace.
Earl was very much into that thing.
He still is.
Yeah, they sent me an invitation to come up and they had a ceremony honoring him. I could go.
I wish you'd been there. Just,
He's the one who talked to me, and I agree with him. To rebuild a highway, get out of it. Yeah, I did that from Ashmere Highway. Relocate the highway.
Well, they're straightening out 68 outside of Harrisburg, and taking it across one big jump there, putting bridges. I don't know if it's working. Shaker Town's been a good project.
Yeah, I've done marvelous government. I've been by there several times.
They make a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's paid off its bonds already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've done a much better job than the state of Texas because you lost that public private support money.
Mm-hmm. Do you think of any difficulties you had with the creation of any specific parts?
I don't recall any opposition to be out of mind.
Did it ever occur to you that we may have made a mistake in taking land for such parts as Buckhorn or Rough River from the Army Engineers? We might have done better to go somewhere else and buy some land?
Yeah, first place, Buckhorn isn't kind of late to develop.
I don't think we made a mistake.
Need to Rough River.
Rough River has been pretty good. But it's right popular, so maybe it was
pretty good location.
Yes. In the midst of a lot of population down there, Louisville, Owensboro, Henderson, King Town.
I think the lake that was developed is out of Taylorsville.
You think you will?
Yeah.
Small.
The location of the
remember old Mr. Brannis?
Oh, very well.
He was always interested in the natural bridge, wasn't he? In those days, the park system was nothing. Almost the same.
I hate to see their old lodge burn down.
It was pretty.
We had done a beautiful job rebuilding practically, using a lot of stone.
Yeah.
We had a man, you remember O.D. Rose? He worked for the park system for years. He's been in charge of building, remodeling. Did a beautiful job. He's a wonderful carpenter, he said. He'd get right out of work with men, worked hard with them. And he made a special project out of that natural bridge lodge because he lived up there close to it. Did a beautiful job. I had an early experience as commissioner of conservation. With the highway department and our park planners. Remember, there was no road up to the lodge and natural bridge.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get one built. Well, the people didn't want to climb up that place and carry luggage. So I told the highway department and agreed to build it. They reported back to me that they couldn't get an agreement with our park buyer. And he said, he wants to build a road, we can't build the way he wants to build it. And I talked to him, and he
said, well, they want to cut all trees. And they don't want to cut trees. So I got them together. We went up there. And the engineer pointed out to me what was necessary. That they were going to have to take that tree out if we're going to build a road. And the park planner argued that you can't take out trees. Of course, we wound up taking the trees. I couldn't take the damn road without some trees. The commissioner job prior to the time that I took it and y'all gave me such publicity was not very well known. My mistake, I had a good example of that. I went in, started out, went in, and I went over to Harrisburg, the old Fort Heron, and they were one of the fellas. And he introduced me to an old lady who was in charge of the park. Ward. She said, how do you do, Mr. Ward? What do you do, Mr. Ward? And he said, well, he's the new commissioner. He said, oh, well, they changed those houses so much, I can't even keep up with them. So I like it. And of course, the highway department was worse. I did some figuring with Dwight Bray, who had been the state highway engineer since 1948, 12 years. In the time he was highway engineer, they had 12 highway commissioners. 11 highway commissioners, 12 years. And after I was out there, the next administration, I think, had 4 or 5.
Yeah, they had quite a few there for a while. You know, they closed the Burt Combs Forester building and then opened it up, I think, just for foresters. They used to have all sorts of things in there, down there. It was part of parks. They took it away from parks. I never did figure out why. Had a gift shop there. Don't have it anymore. Had information for tourists. Don't have that. That's part of John A. Brown's economy drive. I think he made a big mistake.
Yeah, there are certain things that you need to do, certain things that poor guy. I got a lot of kick out of it. Happy, of course, criticized, talking about Ward's privy. We built the first rest area on interstate system. And then on 64, we go over to Franklin. First one in the nation.
Is that the first?
You know, another thing gave me a lot of satisfaction. You remember the fight at the head of the building. Interstate 64 to the Cherokee Park. Cochran.
Cochran Hill.
And I had to fight everybody, trying to get the right of way to get built. Had to fight the federal government over design. As I said, now it's going to a park, now it won't like hell to get it located to the park. Now we're going to build a goddamn thing to fit into the park atmosphere. We're going to landscape beautifully. We're going to use native stone. We're going to put a tunnel through Cochran Hill instead of an open cut as they were insisting on. And we're going to face it with native stone. And we're going to really dress it up. Make it look like a parkway through a park. I fought the Bureau of Public Growth all the way up to finally to say that when they said they weren't going to approve the tunnel. I said, okay, you go to hell, we're going to build a tunnel. We use 100% safe for now. Do what you dare please, we're going to build a tunnel. We built it, and of course they participated finally. A few years after that, they put out a publication listing as a model for highways for the park area. This area there, Cochran Hill, tunnel and all that sort of thing. I can talk about justification. I felt pretty good about that.
And when you went out with Lawrence and then you came back with Bert, what did Happy do in the interim? Did he do anything with conservation much? He put in, we already had General Burnside. He named it Chandler Island.
didn't do anything with it. He took it over.
It was a county park park.
I think he built a causeway across those, but didn't do any development at all.
What else had happened? Do you recall?
Hmm?
I remember that there were a lot of concessions in the parks that had to be called.
Oh yeah, he practically gave away the parks to concessionaires. He had Kentucky Dam Village, for example. He gave Joe Grace, who was taken off in Paducah, concession to operate Ferris wheel and rides. Everything down there was making the money. He gave out his concession to somebody. Gave somebody concession on the golf course.
How about the boat guy?
Yeah.
I remember they had an ice cream concession or something like that.
No, they haven't. They just practically turned the carnival. That concessionary fellow operated paddle boats. Everything. And all the park did the same thing. He didn't give a damn about them. They weren't his ideas, they weren't his parks. He never got any credit to build them, so the hell of it. That's his attitude. Happiness was like that about everything. It wasn't his. People didn't go along with him on everything. Wound up as not happy friends. Two of his earliest supporters at Paducah, Strother Melvin, the state senator, and Brady Stewart from the county jail, Craig County, were two of his closest supporters. He ran against Barkley. Brady Stewart was his state campaign chairman. He did it to try to bury Barkley, get Barkley for Colton chairman. And Strother was his practice organization chairman of the district county. Later on, when they became associated with the Clements, and Happy and Clements were together, because the chairman got bitter about what Brady and Strother both. And they wound up bitter about Happy. And they wound up very strong. They were very strong for Combs when Combs ran against Kentucky. Happy never forgave him, and they never forgave him. But he was that way.
Who was Happy's first name? Lady Jackson?
He appointed Viola Kilgore.
And Viola was under Lady.
Technically.
And Viola Pilot ran the parks?
Yeah, they didn't have to. See, I told you that one. I told Clements that I wasn't going to have a relationship with his chairwoman, Lucy Smith. She's been his state chairwoman, and she had a right to feel that she's going to run the parks. And he told me, no, that's going to happen now. I've got an understanding with her. It's going to be fine for her. And it was. She was perfectly happy. All she wanted was a job and a car and expense account. She was perfectly happy to have somebody else run it and do it. I mean, she was my sole lady. We got along fine. But Laban and Holland didn't get along at all.
Did you have a lot of trouble getting rid of the concessions in the parks? Well, I remember under Combs, you got rid of them.
Yeah. I think went to Ferg and Seward.
And did.
Maybe off the hill. Both of them, I call a couple of them. They want to come on, but do they come on?
Who is responsible for the blueprint under which the parks got about $20 million under Combs, an unprecedented step? Who gave him the idea of that bond issue? Remember there was $90 million for roads and $10 million for parks, and then he gave another revenue bond for $10 million.
I was a whole lot of office. I guess you were part of it.
But I never had any idea of specific.
Park board, and I again, with not being very modest to that, I guess I had a lot to do with it. I knew that the highway part of it was going to Perry, and that was an opportunity to get really get some development parks
as a rider on it.
As a rider, because it wasn't done. Part of the loan wouldn't carry, I don't think. And so, yeah, it was my idea to tie them in. That was a difficult campaign. We didn't really organize that one. You got John Kerman's, Sherman Cooper's brother, Don Cooper, Somerset. Mm-hmm. And Don? No.
Or Dick?
Dick.
There are two of them, Dick and Don.
Dick. Don's not much of fun. Dick was a fine person. And Merle Robertson was a pro-cool chairman of the committee. And organized with some of the real leading people over the state. Everyone campaigned. We all organized just like they organized a political campaign.
Yes.
Of course, Bert was enthusiastic about it. Both the parks and the highway department. I guess everybody who wanted to see things done pretty well.
Do you recall that Herman Evans was opposed to naming the lodge at Jenny Wiley for Andrew Jackson Mays Lodge?
I don't remember that he was more opposed to it than I was.
Bill doesn't remember you. He certainly does remember Herman's operation. He's still sore about it.
Maybe it's a matter of letting Herman take a lead on it. I don't know. Did he write about
who?
Herman.
I think he wrote and he spoke out again.
And he may have. That was the reason he got tagged with the opposition. I didn't write about it. And I don't think I'm wrong about it.
Well, I never opened my mouth.
I didn't make any speeches about it outside of the places where it counted. Well, that would have been attractive. Of course, I was opposed to Jenny Wiley there too, but that wasn't very obnoxious.
You need to report to the park.
Getting the name.
Oh, the name.
Didn't mean anything. Because no one except a few people around that area ever heard of Jenny Wiley, what she did or why she did it.
That's true. And you look back, you think to yourself, you find out that Conservation Man or Highway Man are both. Mm-hmm. You think of yourself as a Conservation Man, a Highway Man, or both?
Primarily Conservation. Okay. That was my first the one in which I had the deepest personal interest. Highways was more of a job that needed to be done. It didn't have the interest in parks and conservation, water, soil, those programs, man.
In his later years, did you get along well with Earl, or did you see much of Earl?
I didn't see a lot of him. I got along with him fine. When I did see him, we corresponded some.
Did you come to the dinner?
I couldn't come. Gladys kept traveling and watching. Gladys Wright Associates just kept getting stiff.
It wasn't as good a dinner as I had.
And in addition to that, damn expense, hell, I can't afford it. Nobody paid my expenses. and frankly, I didn't want to, because I left Kentucky, really. One of the big reasons I came to Florida. I just wanted to get away from being in where I'd be reminded daily of old things and people talking, and particularly a lot of friends who felt that they had to tell me, oh, it's a damn shame you didn't get elected. I had so much of that. I wanted to get away from it. I was over with, and I didn't regret having what I'd done. I didn't regret running for governor either. I didn't, tell you the truth, I didn't think I'm going to get elected. And I didn't regret that at all. But I just don't want to rehash it, keep on living with it. And also found it was damn unsatisfying to be right in the middle and not be a part of it. I just couldn't stand it. When I went back to Louisville with the Kentucky Independent College Foundation, I found that I was dissatisfied not being more a part of the community of things. When Frank Burke asked me to be on the Riverside Front Commission, I jumped at it because he gave me an opportunity to be a part of things. But I just wanted to get away from it. And so I didn't really want to go back to that old gang and relive a lot of the old political fights and backbiting. Not that I like all those people. A few times I've seen them, I've enjoyed it, but just soon not.
We had an awful good dinner for Pritz.
How bad it was.
That was good. It was done right.
I was very, very fond of Pritz. My daughter was crazy about Pritz. Pritz offered to be very active in my campaign. In fact, he pulled his words quite a lot. Happy ran the second, I think, fairly third. Then,
who was the campaign manager?
Well, when you started out, I could see.
They talked about the
middle conversation. And he started with a considerable. In fact, he encouraged Robert Spencer to have his team. And I talked to Bob Newman, too. You know, because Kathy had been church board and had to come to go with it.
But I don't know if they did. I'm going to say if I will.
said, you run me. You got out of here and served your friends from Oak Street. And the project, come on, you can run me down. And what a neat plan that I've made when the enemies out of here are on the stage. I said, I don't know about it. And so they said, run me. And I just threw it this way. This was my breath. And it took a hard time about it. I said, there's only one way that I'll be because of what this is put in there, if you're all your friends, that is if you'll be the same thing. Because what's your friend? They jump on it and say, you know, I said, we're finally good there. So we opened the campaign and she made the announcement. There was an open press conference. And we started organizing. We got a long time. And then they came along with this offer from the federal government. And they told me that I just couldn't turn it down. It's too much. Something I always wanted. And I turned it down. I asked them to lay it. They won't hold it up. And I said, oh, please let them know. Do the same thing. So he had insisted that Foster Ogden step in the campaign. It fell apart a little too, so Foster Ogden was there. When Burke took the dead bed, he had to lock it down to make Foster campaign.
Remember that they came to me. A lot of trouble.
Very frustrated.
And how do you think?
Well, the headquarters operation was badly organized. And I felt very unenthusiastic. Foster did more to it. In the first place, the first home fell was out of the home. But he wasn't out of the home. But he couldn't, found the kid where it was, the fact that I had a car. The other people I got in, I just felt that I didn't feel that they had the first answer to me at all. Hot, pretty, you know, which was probably right. I wasn't listening to claim that they had an order of me or do that and want that for me. So I was rather unhappy about the whole organization. I didn't think it worked together. I'd be out of state to have to work all week long, going from morning to late at night. And I had been accustomed to that when Clement, when I'd worked campaign with Barclay to come in on Sunday and have meetings, have it to me. They planned for Sunday. I could never get them to stay way up for our Sunday meeting. Foster going back to Lexington, Ed Parrish, and working on the schedule and going back to Frankfurt. And so I could never get to meetings. And consequently, because I was busy all week long, I just had damn little contact with the state court. Very little dispatch planning and issues. People around writing religion papers to the Ohio issues. Didn't feel the evil, but didn't feel the damn best, and I didn't make the money. Oh, it's a combination of that. Plus the fact that I'm convinced that most typical campaigning is wasted voting. The supporters organize a rally or meeting for peace. Tradition has been that they put the bite on employees to come in, pack the courthouse, and
they have to put out. So the Kansas Senate making speech to people who already committed to it. And that's why you can do it. That's the public you might get out of it. It's just a quick one. The typical handshake is sort of going to a town and the local supporter assistant and go up down the street and leave their store and take in. I just don't know what's going on. First place is just water to staff. And if they have no consideration, none of them have any consideration for the antennas. It's killing. It's a killing thing. And all of them pressure is on you. And they're worried about these aliens. One guy get on, everything else is coming to that. Well, you're worn out all the time. I've always been to the Thomas Congress. So then, that's good up there. And all of my campaign, Christmas Falls, and Thomas. Trying to maintain the human attributes and all that work. But all of it is different. All the frustrations and all the feeling that the things weren't being done. So it was typical example. The one final example. I personally wrote an ad to be put into all of the Christian counties we did. Final week of campaign. Full day there. Vote for Henry Ward, a little man for the adult. And I said, now put that in the last week so that out in the state they won't see it. Too late to invite picking up the time to write. But I was on the Buford man, not a Lowell man. Yet I'd lived a Lowell every year. People that didn't know it was. And I thought that if there's one final club, both by the local man, there's just a hell of a lot of people didn't pay attention to campaign much, but just saying, hey, the Lowell fellow, and then we hope maybe that's how. So I had orders, but I had raised the money right back to pay for. Well, after the campaign, I discovered that they didn't run it. They ran a damn page, they had advertised the full Democrat ticket. And I said, you son of a bitch, God damn it, this is typical of what's happening in this whole goddamn campaign. But I mean, this is one example, but this, I thought it was somewhat typical. Now, I'm not saying that all that, but myself, I was a full candidate. I'm not a good candidate, that. Not to go ahead and hand or back to class or anything. I don't, didn't know enough and until I need to. But I'm not. I'm not that old charisma that no parents. And I was bothered with that to kind of count for that. But that wasn't the only thing. And of course, worrying around about what happy is doing in this crowd. You see, Canberra had lost a lot of response, and I really haven't had a lot of influence, but I'd say happy to have put 15,000 votes. Well, 15,000 votes out of one. Remember, one by 26,000. Push over that many votes I want. So it didn't credit, but that was just part of it. It was the
happy still and church that he has always supported the party's members.
I don't want to call my name, except the old Mark Lane didn't.
Did he support Mary? And Mary didn't have a family?
I came out for the limit.
I thought you did,
yeah. I came out for the limit.
You came out for the limit against you, too. Let's see. voters turnout pretty well for Bush.
Yeah.
And campaigned.
Mm-hmm.
And happy enough that he was voted back to party, then backed off from that. They didn't want any apologies from Bush for all the lies, secret sports and charity.
Well,
they go ahead and tell me more about the campaign.
Well, it was finally just a grind. Kind of running the schedule.
You said you wanted to try and make it too good.
Yeah. As for everybody, just as soon as all over. That was the general feeling. It's all everybody made. And it looked like that's true. I mean, the polls indicated that. The polls indicated that they went up until October and started throwing it. Now we're starting to do it fast. But the end of that was too late to do it. And I say, Tom Renner was just an awful grind. Typical day is get up and have some practice with you. And get in the car and rush off to the next town. Make speech in some time out in the open air. Fall inside. In the morning. And generally another one in the afternoon. And then winding up with one at night and last 10, 11 o'clock at night. And trying to get a few hours sleep. Same thing this day. And the result was just wound up, worn out physically, and worn out a little off the sleep because you can get much of a sleep of those. Sleep in a different bed every night. And not eating right because kind of stuff serving the political center of this generally put and one of the little things that's popping on campaign is having proper advance work done. Advance man and boy, I never was able to get good advance men. And they were they really get have to have someone travel with him to drive the car and try to take care of some details. I never was able to get one of someone that I thought was effective.
And the girl always had big friends to me. This I think also goes to first a little bit.
Well,
they told
me, you know, in Earl's case, it wasn't very important. Earl was his own. Earl was an excellent campaign. Enormous physical stamina.
But Earl liked personal campaign.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. And I did.
He liked the Wood Main Street,
yeah.
He liked small groups. He liked rodeo clubs.
Yeah, certainly. I didn't mind the rodeo clubs, those sorts of things. They were quite enjoyable. Because generally, first place, it must be with you, it weren't necessarily your form. The thing that got me was just going to those meetings where, hey, there's not an ordinance from you, but half of us, they enjoy you. You just hanging on and sure that's around. I'm comfortable with that. want to leave a little country radio station. You go to bed somewhere and put on there, mm-hmm. interview you, because you have free time. I tell you about it, it's there, everyone went. And I made a point of trying to see all the newspapers. The combination, say I was at this point in my own campaign and this point in what organization was. But that was what Beaton, the combination thing, the primary thing Beaton was the national situation. I had to, after the primary, I went up to Washington. Earl organized that the whole delegation had lunch for me. And Earl got Johnson to take his whole class to the office. And Johnson wanted to ask me what I thought about public feeling. What is the situation? What is saying about me? He had one of his latest polls. He showed me his polls. What do you think about it? And I said, well, I'm sorry, but you asked, I guess you want to tell the truth. He said, well, I do. Well, I said, I think the polls are right. The general unrest and dissatisfaction.
I think what year was it, 67?
67. 68, one of them, summer 68. And I said, polls arrived and reflecting your present situation at night before. What caused it? And I said, most of us think about mistakes that have been made. I said, I can think of one little one because I had some recent experience with it. I've had more trouble in the last year with your logistics, organizers, technicians.
Yeah.
Sure enough trouble in the county. Organizing delegations coming out to me the way it helped because they're not getting their share of money and they're not getting projects. They're entitled to it. They're feed people. I said, these people are causing more trouble in Kentucky than anybody I need time to watch. And he said, I hear that over. Well, that's what I'm sure in Kentucky. But I said, that's just one button example. But I said, these are the kind of things people get satisfied. Hell, they're satisfied about the Vietnam War and they're satisfied about everything good. They're not happy about the national situation. So the national situation is deteriorating. And it hasn't had an effect in Kentucky. It always naturally will. Look what happened this last year in Kentucky. And what happened the next year in Kentucky was the next year. The satisfaction with the Democratic Party had developed such that in the 68 it started rolling and stuff. In the 69 it snowballed. Those combination things.
What did you do after that? Did you go back to the chamber?
No, I went back to the Bureau of Business Publishing paper.
Oh, you did? I'm Democrat.
Mm-hmm. I was there 2 years and didn't want to stay out.
Well, had Ed left then?
No, he's still
there. Jack had his radio station in the TV station.
No, Jack wasn't. He still was in the station. Frank had been publisher and he said he bought nothing. Probably won't pay money. And they, Jack and Fred and Frank all came to oversee me. And they actually come back. And But here's a just thing to me that did it. And after having been out and seen it and
acted and watched it and all,
Frank could do it effectively. And I tried my best to stir up stuff. In fact, I remember Burlap went that back to Boulder Club at the University. So I got up just ready to hell. I said, here we are meeting here in Cobble Town. I said, when I came back down here, I lived for 2 months and was hurting down in Cobble Town, so my life to move down here. And I said, I was a chink. Every day I was a chink. That's what this hotel has become. I kept this hotel and it was open. With urban Cobble and dedicated. And see what's happened to this dirty damn chink. And I said, you look around for this. Look out here at Broadway. The Friday's on. The damn running streets, rust all over. It's a shame to have a visitor come in here and look what kind of condition this place is in. I just went, it was up. Lots of stuff. And I thought, now, why am I saying all these things? Just to be nasty? Hell no. I got that. I came back to just live here. I want to live here. I want to have to do something about it. So for God's sake, just the kids that do some things. Well, I threw around way as hell and got city to maybe we'll work and research the program, do some things, and I kept on ready to help. But it didn't give me much chance to do it. Because I just felt it was hopeless. Then the papers just looked at hopeless. See, that has packed me, family, papers, since it was found in 1900. The old people around there that worked the packs, they packed. They resented somebody who wasn't practicing. And I think they resented me personally because they thought this damn fellow had lost his job to governor and back here trying to tell us how to run the paper. And they resented that too. And so I just was completely unhappy with it. And, what I like to do is that I'm pretending I just was getting on. So I found that
I think there's a lot of things to say. You have to have the right guy on the
statute. Yeah. So when I decided to do that, I wrote a long memo to the board director to make some recommendations. First of all, I had to go up to the top of the country. A lot of them modernized things. And I said, don't neglect anybody except the Paxton, because he's all employed, if you don't accept anybody except the Paxton. And they took him back, and they said that. And the Paxton, I think that was the last one. The Paxton boys, the last one. And he came back, they sold it, they got a pen out of the struggle. And sold it and came back. And they carried him before the old thing. Really, of course, he's tired and he's got.
He's down
here. Yeah, he's down here. Hopefully. that they did in the UK. I was trying to fix that. I came down here, beautiful, I did. But since we came down here and got to the book, the place, and had to have a lot of work done on it. So, we both stayed down here for a long time. And I was down here for a long time. He took most of the time down here. While I pulled the place up, did a lot of work getting that Batman film, and go over the kitchen here, and a lot of things. And I think it was a good thing.
I'd be glad I
didn't mean to say all that to me,
but I would like that if you have time, go over with me just one or two more episodes in the public career in Kentucky, with special emphasis on Highway Commissioner Edward Combs and Brussels, and your experience in part. Anything that you like best about both?
All of our runs together. Every day it costs too much like yesterday. I'm always interested in the parts, you know, because I think, I was wondering if we didn't make some mistakes, if mistakes haven't been made. I think that Kincaid Lake, maybe Greenbow, Buckhorn, may have been mistakes.
I think maybe we could have done better if Rock River had we bought land at a different place rather than take land at the same thing as Buckhorn. We just took land to engineers gave us.
A lot of it goes back really to the folks who are not as serious. What is the state kind of trying to do?
Yeah.
Now, if it's trying to develop and operate the system or start the park, then these are the reasons for parking up in the state. You just waste your money on it. So, if you're trying to develop a regional system of parks that are more representative of local people, then they want to stay. So, it depends on what you're trying to do.
Well, has Buckhorn been much sort of busy with local people?
I don't know. I got it. The location's bad.
Yeah.
Too far off the highway. That's the reason I said that I'm the Taylorsville thing might develop, because it's locally situated with a close population area. I don't know. And then it goes back to the theory of what you're supposed to do. One of my arguments is rural, for example. How you start with the way out there. Rural has not a damn bit of reason to have any that park down at the...
In Tom Foley's place?
No, around Tom Foley's.
Well,
I know it's a non-tribute, but I'm talking about what my nation out here.
still one thing.
Yeah.
That's a city park.
Yeah, I'm not in business with it.
No.
Yeah, sure. And just because the time that the whatever federation to develop the thing and want to get rid of it, the world was the only one to take it. And I told Al, I said, it doesn't make any sense at all. If anything, it's logic to the state park, not the city park. City money ought to be spent on parkway down there like that. I've got a strong theory about the park. It goes back somewhat to a strong theory I have about the whole matter of government, the proper distribution of governmental functions on basis of what purpose it serves. Now, there's an easy distribution of functions of parks, national, state, and national, state, and local. Easy. There is about highways too. And in that sort of relationship, that park then that doesn't belong to the road. It really doesn't belong to state either. It's not big enough, not to doesn't have the scenery, it's location, it doesn't just.
I thought things would come when it's in the state. It's pretty, and I think that there's a justification for the preservation aspect of parks.
Well,
you have a unique area or an unusual special area that you might preserve it.
But not the city of
Louisville. No, I'm in the state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll often take it over.
Historical.
When I was Commissioner Howie and the contract, I often take it over. They would agree.
I thought this city plan has been justifiable. It is justifiable, but I just thought in private hands where it was, it's something better. Penny Valley's mine, Lake Malone, I'm not all sure we couldn't have done without that one.
No, it's a local park, county park.
It's good than a county park. Didn't talk to much to get a big park in the first place.
Not really up to state standards.
It's pretty little thing.
Yeah.
Ben Hawes down at Owensboro is strictly a boondoggle that Wendell dug up on the state.
Yeah, they make the state park out of it.
Yeah. And it's just a city park. You know, that Lincoln Homestead down there at Springfield probably never should have been a state park. It's called a shrine, but it should be a county park or a private thing. There's too many of them like that.
Yeah, that one is really just a little county park.
They just keep it for the golf course. But I got the state now to get rid of them. Once they've got them, they'll do the hell to pay. It's
hard to do that. So you just hope you can get enough state appropriations by the basic maintenance.
Lake Pinkley.
Columbus, Belmont.
We were
trouble is as much as covering a long career and a lot of activities. It's hard to pick out specifics as much as cover.
Well, just pick out anything. Almost anything about your career is very relevant to what we're trying to do, or to your life, or to anything having to do with life in Kentucky, or Kentucky government.
One thing I remember that might be of interest to late Alvin Barkley. I think I mentioned that I was very close to Barkley from an early age, and after he discovered my grandfather, who had been his first preacher, we had led to other things. In addition to that, he was glad as before I did. He used to stay at the pile all the time there. So we were very close friends. I had mentioned that I was the state publicity chairman in 1938 campaign. And the National Democrat Convention in evening was in it. So it must have been the Garden of 44 Convention. In 40, must have been 47, 43. His son-in-law called me to Washington, and he said, "The senator wants you to write a story, saying that he definitely is going to be a candidate for vice president. He's in a race, and he's in a race." I said, "Well, I'm glad to write a story, but why me?" Well, he said, "It's known, or it certainly will be known, how close you are to him, and if you wouldn't write that story unless it was true." Well, I did, and he's right. The president came to him, and I got a little call from Gordon. And at the convention in Chicago, he asked me to go up there with him. He stayed at the old Blackstone Hotel. And I remember one evening, I was in the suite with him, Harry Truman walked in. And Truman said, "You know, the stupidest damn thing, they're not talking about me being picked for vice president. It's ridiculous. You available to think about me." And of course, Barkley said, "Well, I agree I'm a candidate. I'd like to have it." But he said, I'm saying what the situation is. Roosevelt never forgave Barkley. Or making crack about him going Christmas tree and held it against him, and he was determined he was not going to be vice president. Of course, he had no friends. And it worked out. Well, you know the whole history about what happened in 48 and the nomination in Philadelphia. And they went on to get elected. I was with Barker the night of Finley, that final election. He always seems to be a good one, wind up in a campaign. And for several years, I had worked with him. We organized a motorcade through each county as his purchase. And I'd go ahead of him with a truck and a PA system and get meetings started and make it and talk until I saw his crowd approaching, and I hightailed to the next stop. And so I did that day too, and then with him last week to do this. And over there at his house, I explained over, and I said, "Senator, it's all over now. What do you really think?" He said, "Well, we put up a good fight, but we lost." Of course, next morning, he was delighted to read the Chicago Tribune and ran about it. Then, after the term of by president was over, and with Lawrence and Clements and everybody else up there, figured that the best they could do is try to persuade them to run against Tipper. And because I was known to be close to him, I was designated to go down to see him and see what he thought
I found pretty soon he was not that reluctant, because he had just been in Washington. He wasn't particularly anxious to do a lot of work in him, but just missed being up there in the Senate. And he indicated willingness, but also was somewhat reluctant to be associated with Clement. He was really bitter about Clement. In Chicago, he wanted to be nominated by a president. And he claimed kind of double crossed him and wouldn't go along. And now he was extremely bitter about Clement and didn't want to be associated with
him. In fact, he wanted to be vice president for
president, too. See, he was vice president.
Right.
So he thought he was entitled to be nominated. And he was also bitter to labor because he'd always been a great labor man, but labor refused to go along with him because they thought he was too old. But he was saying he was extremely bitter about Clement. And I did all I could to try to move that over difficulty. Anyway, he agreed to go. He agreed to run finally. And with the understanding that I would, for all practical purposes, manage this campaign. And I protested that. Well, I was, I say God says about that he's in practice. Which is still the way it's going to be.
What were you then?
I was still in practice for conservation. That's 54 or 53. Well, let's see.
They were elected. He was elected in 48, but not in 52.
Well, 52 was a convention.
Yeah.
So it was after that.
Yeah, let's see. That was in the summer. It should have been the
fall. Well, it was. Clements was having a run for this war. See, Clements had carried out an unexpired term. Jerry Wiggins, and they had to, he had to run for full term. So that's been 51. Oh, I'm not exactly 50 years. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Thomas was governor from 48 to 52. Elected in 47.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I'm not going to kind of draw that stuff. It was 56.
Oh, this is in 56.
You see, Earl had to run for 400.
Yes,
that one was, I was in Washington with Earl in the 50s at the time. I'm trying to remember the details. But in any event, because I was in Washington.
And it has to be that close. I had to came in 55.
Yeah. Must have been 50.